Hi, this is Tom Jacobs from tdjacobs.com, and this is an MP3 all about Saturn in Scorpio, including finishing up Saturn in Libra, so you can understand what the last couple of years have been about, and then how that transitions into Scorpio, how Scorpio follows it. The dates, the inclusive dates for Saturn being in Scorpio, it enters on October 5th, 2012, and it leaves for the last time on September 17th, 2015. So that is almost 3 years, and included in there is when I talk about the retrograde periods. We'll talk about when it enters Sagittarius and then dips back into Scorpio. A lot of what I do in my work when it comes to Saturn is to help people change their minds about how to do Saturn energy. When we talk about what Saturn is about in our psyche, we are always confronted with how we have carried forward models from the past of how we think Saturn should look. Not only does Saturn relate to history, but it also relates to authority figures who, of course, were older than we were when we were young. We look around and we see adults doing things, and then we see authority figures, we see teachers and, you know, school administrators, and we see coaches and teachers. We see religious leaders of different kinds. We see civic leaders, business people. You know, sometimes the caste changes over the course of our lives, you know, starting from parents when we're very young into school people to bosses, etc. And then we actually become our own Saturnian figures at some point in life, ideally. If we're paying attention and doing it right, we do. And so the caste can change, the kinds of people in our lives change, but we are always surrounded by those who carry authority or have experience or who seem to have more wisdom than we do. So we are exposed from day one to models of what Saturn looks like. So it's not only is Saturn about that and age and time and history, but it's also about shoulds. Saturn is also about normalizing everything and anything that can possibly be normalized, making everybody the same so that they can be addressed in a practical, constructive way on the same level. The lowest common denominator is, to some degree, a Saturn concept, the middle portion of the bell curve. That, you know, anybody interested in bell curves, from a practical standpoint, will attempt to fit as many people as possible in that range so that the stragglers, underachievers, overachievers, or smarter, not as smart, whatever it is who fit outside that range, that number is as small as possible. So this is all Saturn, normalization through structure, but should. What things should be like, what things should look like. As I go into in detail in the book on Saturn I wrote called Saturn Returns, Thinking Astrologically, it's kind of deceptive because it seems to be about returns, obviously that's in the title, but it's really about altering how we experience Saturn, where we get these models, you know, asking ourselves, is it possible to do it differently? What if Saturn looked like this instead? So that's kind of also the theme that I want to do in this MP3 as well. So we have these models of adulthood and authority. We have models of responsibility and maturity. We have models of morality. That's a huge part of Saturn, ethics and morality. We get the models from everywhere, right? And then at some point, we get these opportunities to find out that our models might not work. Because Saturn also represents the status quo around us and within us, when it comes time, you know, if our model isn't working, some of our expectations about Saturn require that we don't change, right? Some of doing Saturn is in being rigid. So another way of doing Saturn is to get more oriented towards how reality is working, another important Saturn word, and to adjust what we're doing to reflect or support or to dovetail with, to work in symbiosis with the concrete real world reality that surrounds us. So those are two primary ways of doing Saturn. Rigid, stuck, unyielding, unbending, or conscious and adaptive, you know, paying attention to what really works. When we come up against the need to do something, to do Saturn in a different way, we have to surrender the old models. Our old models always have blind spots because they are attempts to understand reality and respond to it in a certain way that is based in should, that is based in, you know, constructing some kind of reality tomorrow or 10 years down the road or 100 years down the road that has to, simply must, ignore certain realities in the present moment. Models of Saturn for many of us, when we talk about that, include putting off the emotional reality of a moment in order to work towards a long-term goal. Not to say that all Saturn energy has to do with, you know, deprecating or burying emotions, but that's certainly a part of the possibilities when you talk about long-term goals, another Saturnian key phrase. So we have the choice to change, but many of us are habituated and conditioned not to change. At the end of this recording, I'm going to talk about the returns, the first or second Saturn return in Scorpio, and I'll make this a little more real in terms of what I end up unfolding here for you about what Scorpio is about and Saturn, what Saturn will be doing in Scorpio. But essentially, at these returns, at roughly 29, 29.5 degrees, and then roughly double that age, roughly 58 years old, we have this opportunity to alter how we do Saturn energy, and we're basically getting a boost of Saturnian energy to our own inner Saturn, and we can feel at those times, if we allow ourselves to feel this way, incredibly empowered to make real change in how we do Saturn. But for the vast majority of us living our lives at other ages, you know, for decades at a time, without those returns or before and between those returns, we are confronted with change, and we tend to be resistant. Healthy Saturn changes. Healthy Saturn can pick the boundaries or pick the battles, have good boundaries, and be able to be flexible in certain ways as long as there are you know, directions to be aimed in that yield concrete results over time. So what you have to do to make Saturn happy within you, and whenever you're faced with making a change, ensure that this is in play and the Saturnian party will be more flexible and willing to change. What you do is you have a concrete goal. You have a minimum threshold that you're willing to experience with flexibility versus concrete structured, concreteness, you know, something real world. Saturn needs goals. The Saturn within you needs something to do that is productive. If you make that proactive, then you can kind of shift from inner critic, inner voice of judgment, which is a huge part of Saturn, the judge and the critic. You can turn that around into having a part of, you know, in your intra-psyche board meeting, having a part of you that can actually plan things and execute them, as opposed to being stressed about how things aren't happening, judging things, or withholding support because of the criticism that you might have been conditioned to carry when it comes to Saturn. In large part, turning around the inner voice of judgment or the voice of the inner judge revolves around compassion. It's true, you may have heard through my work with Chiron or something or anything else actually, or in other metaphysical circles from other teachers and writers, you might have heard that compassion or love is the key to everything. It's actually true. And your own Saturn might resist this idea, but the fact is that when you choose to be compassionate towards yourself and others, you can turn around the voice of the critic and the judge into a voice of a constructive criticism that has some patience for how real people unfold in their process of getting something done that's useful over time. So we all need to turn around this inner voice of judgment. When Saturn enters a new sign, that inner voice of judgment that we experience collectively and then how we each relate to that as an individual shifts modes. There's a different focus. I want to talk about what's been happening with Saturn in Libra for the last couple of years, and then to talk about Scorpio and how the change from Libra to Scorpio with the Saturn in a little over a month as of this recording in early October is going to happen. Now, wherever Saturn does transit, it asks us to get real, and to work in concrete ways for long-term solutions, to create, implement, and follow through on long-term solutions for whatever seems to be out of whack in our lives. As Libra has everything to do with relationships, Saturn transiting Libra for the last couple of years has had us being invited by Saturn to work on difficult relationship issues in a measured, slow, clear-cut, concrete way. Whatever is fair, whatever is not fair, has become much more important as Saturn came into Libra. Every human is learning about relationships, learning through relationships in incredibly important ways. It's part of the human game. But when Saturn is in Libra, suddenly the attention of the vast majority of people gets focused on what is fair and what is not fair. How to create relationship is more important than having relationship. So when we don't have relationships, you know, we're not in a relationship but want one, we have to look at how open we are to having a relationship and also to how we go about inviting others to play with us and to share in our lives. If we are in relationship, then and we don't like how something is working or something seems unfair, we have to look at our expectations, our requirements, our perceived needs, and our desires in relationship. So as Saturn has been going in Libra for the last couple of years, we have all been needing to look at how we actually have relationships. If you're wrapping this up for yourself, trying to make sense of some of the things you've experienced Saturn transiting in Libra, understand that whatever's happening in your relationship, or plural, is a reflection of what you're willing to experience and is also a direct result of how you conceive of fairness and approach others. So Saturn in Libra actually makes it look sometimes that relationships are hard or that there are more difficult things in relationships coming up. And the actual truth of it is Saturn in Libra puts the focus on how you may project on others and how you may run your relationship life based in what you're waiting for someone else to do for you. Saturn, as the voice of realism in Libra, says, well, what do you need to do for yourself that you have been waiting for somebody else to do or allowing somebody else to do on your behalf? Saturn says, reality check for you equals taking back responsibility for yourself. Everything about how we do Libra comes under scrutiny from this watchful eye of Saturn, dissecting apparent reality, you know, that is the what my relationship seems to be giving me or not giving me, and putting the focus on my role in creating and maintaining those dynamics that do not work for me. Also, wherever Saturn goes, there tends to be a feeling of limitation or lack or heaviness or burdensomeness. With Saturn in Libra, relationships are the weight. They are the burden. Again, look at what you've experienced for the last couple of years as Saturn has transited Libra and make the decision to reinterpret any difficult scenarios as and whatever labels you may put on them already, whatever it seemed to be about and mean and be like, take it back and make the decision that everything you learned helped you clean up some of the minutiae, some of the foundational issues in how you approach, think about, and construct and maintain and also end relationships. There also is going to be something where, you know, Saturn has also to do with, to some degree, endings, like limitations and the cold, hard truth of a matter that we can no longer avoid. So there are relationships that have perhaps been longstanding, moderately so or very longstanding, that have broken up during Saturn in Libra. And I remember when Saturn just entered Libra and I was in a circle of teachers through a group I used to teach through. And three out of the, I believe, 10 or 11 people had major breakups. Within 2 or 3 or 4 days of Saturn entering Libra, I think we had this meeting about a week after it happened. And nobody could understand, and everyone was wondering what is going to happen to everybody else now. And the very fact is that when you find that things are not fair, in Libra, and then Saturn comes to Libra, you can no longer escape it. And it's kind of like the buck stops here. You can also no longer put off your conscious awareness of what is happening that doesn't work. So that's been a lot of the stuff in Libra. Because we're talking about an air sign and about the interactions between people, communication has been vital for the process of Saturn in Libra. To every time you have a tendency to respond in a certain way that doesn't involve communication, to look at it and to be really clear that perhaps you need to stretch into actually talking. That's what maturity in this moment means. That's what responsibility right now means, is saying, you know what, partner or friend or family member, I'm really having a hard time with this dynamic in our relationship, and I've been looking at it for a few weeks, wondering how important it is to talk about, and I need to say something. That's kind of sad, and the buck stops here. I can no longer put off talking about this. And then if you do talk about things, to check your motivation, and to check the mode in which you approach the other person. Am I approaching that person because I'm angry that he or she is not playing with me as I wish, or giving me what I want or perceive that I need? And in that case, Saturn is saying, well, realistically, a realistic view of what's happening and what creates fairness and harmony, balance, and shared goals together in Libra is actually giving the person the benefit of the doubt and approaching the other person with the benefit of the doubt, so that you're not burning bridges before you even open your mouth, and you're not attacking somebody. And this takes me to the last thing about Saturn in Libra. The way that we approach other people, if we are hurt because others aren't playing with us the way we want or perceive we need or require or have said 100 times we want and need, if we approach that other person with aggression and assertion, the reality check of Saturn in Libra is also so that we see the results of our choice. We can more, perhaps if not more acutely, tune in to what that person is experiencing. We have to deal with the effects, right? Because Saturn also has to deal with dealing with the real effects of anything. Through that, we can learn more about how it is that we approach others when we're unhappy or dissatisfied. And that is an incredibly important learning tool for every relationship across the board that we may have in our lives now, and that we may, you know, have, create, and maintain all throughout the rest of our lives. So Saturn in Libra has been an incredibly important learning tool. Now, when Saturn entered Libra, there was a weight that descended upon many people who needed to clean up Libran or relationship fairness harmony issues in their life. You know, things being out of balance in general, in business, in friendship, in family relationships, in romance, partner, sex relationships, spouse relationships. The weight descended, right? The reality check, the need to sort through details and to get on the same page and to really work in a proactive, communicative style with the other people in order to, you know, open up an avenue for shared consciousness. Now let's talk about Scorpio. The difference between Libra and Scorpio, and then how Saturn's going to function in this sign. Scorpio takes everything in Libra, everything that we do in Libra, and intensifies it, makes it deeper, makes it go further and farther, and sometimes faster, but intensifies and deepens, and thereby the possibility for enriching everything that we do in Libra. In Libra, we're talking. In Libra, we are comparing notes. And I am learning about you through observing you, asking you questions, listening to your answers, you know, answering your questions and observing your reactions to my answers. And this exchange of information, this is Libra in general, to try to get on the same page, to try to figure out how to let each person's needs, the desires, thoughts, opinions, and feelings matter equally, or you know, we all have times where we matter more in a relationship than others. We might take a little more for this week or this month, but over time, to learn the give and take. You know what? There's something that I consistently take a little more of here, and I recognize that. I want to give you a little more over here in this other area, if you're open to that. That's the learning in Libra. In Scorpio, it gets intense, and we get more sensitive to undercurrents of energy. In Scorpio, our deeper psychology comes up and comes into play. how we have been shaped through power games, power plays, power dynamics, how strong we feel in a given relationship. And when this comes up in with clients a lot, I will use the phrase, and with this whatever in Scorpio, this placement in Scorpio, you're learning about who gets to be strong in a relationship when. This comes a lot when people have prominent Plutos, but also 8th house in Scorpio. And I don't treat them as the same, but they're linked archetypally for sure. The terrain of the intenser part of life, intenser parts of life is what they have in common. Yes, sex, death, other people's money, etc. But also a lot of that about truth, power, honesty, trust, and that kind of thing. In Libra, things get done by taking a poll and giving a crap about all of the responses, you know, giving a hoot. In Scorpio, things get done through sensing and emoting and connecting energetically in some way. So deep psychology, deep emotion. Scorpio is also relating to the parts of us that in which still waters run deep. Look at something and it seems placid. And then when you actually ask a question or you push a hot button, something under the surface comes up and rears its head, so to speak. Sometimes it can seem to be or threaten to be a monster that was living under the water. You know, some kind of weird creature, dragon creature or something, that rises up. And that can be difficult to deal with because these things under the surface, we tend to judge quite a bit. Now, anything working in Scorpio needs to be healthy through making peace with the fact of what's under the surface. Anything transiting Scorpio simply must dig under the surface and learn, a very important point, learn how to deal with the fact that something will be found. Very often, what's found is unpalatable at first glance. Doing something in a scorpionic way dredges our unconscious or our subconscious, things that we tend not to want to identify with ourselves. When we do Scorpio well, this is the sign of the natural psychologist. There's a penetrating, emotionally aware, and sensitive quality to Scorpio energy. And when we don't do it well, we can carry a hard edge that is based in a fear of what we may find in ourselves, and then we can project that on being afraid of what we might find in other people. So things in Scorpio get done intensely. Saturn entering Scorpio on October 5th, 2012 will make whatever you've been dealing with the Saturn and Libra transit of what's fair and who gets to have what when, it will intensify that and deepen that. For some of us, we will find out that we don't have as much honesty and forthrightness in our lives as we really need and perhaps have advertised that we will require. For some people, that will require a little betrayal, perhaps being lied to, perhaps realizing that something they have in good faith communicated isn't true. Perhaps, you know, we ourselves find out that the way that we've represented ourselves, as far as being Saturn and Libra goes, it's not the whole story. And now we might suddenly realize that our toolbox actually runs a little deeper, and there are some more difficult, challenging, or stress—not stress-inducing, but kind of tools underneath that first layer of Libra tools underneath it that actually stir things from under the surface and might make us or some other people uncomfortable because of the level of realism and truth that they stir up and reveal. When things happen in Scorpio, there can be a rawness to it. And we're talking about Saturn, again, the limits. The buck stops here. I can no longer deal with this situation, and something constructive, proactive must be done about it. When Saturn in Libra, it's like my dealings with you. Hopefully, ideally, I can, you know, not project on you, and I can take responsibility back for my expectations and my desires and needs, etc. But in Scorpio, it's where we do this intense work together. When it goes into Scorpio, the apparent reality could be that other people are not being completely truthful with you, whether in good faith, meaning they're not quite sure they're not being totally truthful, or in bad faith, meaning you've been deceived. For many of us, if that kind of thing happens, it's going to be very easy to be angry with the other person. Keep in mind, Spiritual Truth 101, that all anger covers over pain. And being betrayed and being lied to is a breach of trust. That hurts. So, of course, some of us might want to don that Scorpio stinger, you know, the tail and the stinger, and to lash out at people. And Saturn is going to say, but yeah, is that how you really want to react? Saturn is going to say, look at this impulse within you. Please look at the fact that a part of you gets so hurt that you would lash out. And I'm telling you, every single one of us has this part. If you can think about the kindest, gentlest, most Venusian or, most mercurial people who try to be kind and generous, and Jupiter people, Sagittarius people, and we don't always identify with parts of us that would react strongly. But we have to in order to be healthy in a scorpionic way. Every single person has a part that can be hurt enough that the person may be inspired to hurt others. It's just a part of being human and living with a 12th of the chart that's in Scorpio, even if you don't have placements there. You have a Pluto, you have an 8th house, and you have a Mars, right, which co-rules Scorpio. And you also have Scorpio on the cusp of usually one house, perhaps two. So some of us might have some of us do have it intercepted, but not very many of us at all. So honesty is a huge part of Saturn going into Scorpio. The revelation, bringing to light the truth of something that's going on. When you're inclined to interpret betrayal in any form, whether, of course, good faith or bad faith, as I mentioned, good faith meaning the other person didn't know, bad faith being the person knew and it was a little, perhaps, a malicious. Check your reactivity and your sense of losing power or strength because of this lack of honesty, and take it back by committing to a new level of honesty. The buck stops here, can't deal with this anymore within yourself. So when you feel betrayed by somebody else in any way, scale is relative, can be tiny, can be major, take it back and refuse to leak energy because of this. And on the other hand, or instead, view it as a learning opportunity. Saturn saying, you got to do your homework right now. There's something difficult, challenging to learn over time, and this is with Saturn. It is over time, changing your mind about something and your habits and your inclinations over time. So it's kind of like instituting a 3-month program to change a thought pattern. That kind of thing is a very, very, very transiting Saturn coming into a new sign. In Scorpio, you know, alter your relationship with your feelings of betrayal. Now that said, whatever's happening in your chart in Scorpio or Pluto in the 8th house, whatever historical experiences that you've had, you have the opportunity when this gets stirred up again at some point in life, perhaps while Saturn's in Scorpio over the next almost 3 years, you have the opportunity to rewrite why that happened. In my work all the time, we're talking about rewriting history. Rewriting history. When somebody lies to you and you're hurt and then you're angry, a part of you will come up with a reason that probably... May, depending on your age, maturity level, and how good you are with compassion and taking responsibility for all your experience, but may decide the other person is dishonest. The fact is that the other person may not be dishonest. The fact is the other person might have just said something that wasn't true. There's a huge difference between labeling character when it comes to negative Scorpio. When we've been hurt by something. So, and then just observing what it is that actually happened. And this is where giving people the benefit of the doubt kind of comes in. You've had many chances to try that during Saturn and Libra's time the last couple of years. So turn it on the Scorpio thing. And what that does is it takes it when you are your most vulnerable, having trusted somebody and feeling betrayed. It has you taking responsibility for the experience you're having. You're creating it as a divine being. And can you not make the other person wrong because you are having pain? That is one of the most important lit up in neon sign, all caps, flashing arrows pointed at it, invitation for Saturn transiting Scorpio. The reality check about what it means to get burned in a scorpionic way. The reality check is that you've created an experience for yourself with somebody else. You've co-created it. Can you accept responsibility for all your experience, including your pain? And that process of that reality check and withdrawing the projection of you did this to me and taking responsibility for it, it allows you to get to the bottom of tons of scorpionic stuff in your life that has been painful. Betrayal, lies, being used and abused, that kind of thing. So that's the whole honesty betrayal thing. One of the things that ties together all of the scorpionic parts of life is, and again, astrologically, sex, death, and other people's money, when we talk about the eighth house, and power, when we talk about Pluto, what it all has to do with is sharing vulnerability with others, or another, revealing ourselves at our most vulnerable with another, and then what happens after that, and then how we react to that. So honesty is a huge thing here, but trust is another one. So kind of extending what I've said so far about the Saturn and Scorpio with the betrayal and how people, you know, how we hurt each other, whether intentionally or not, and how to deal with taking responsibility for our experiences. This idea of opening ourselves to another is a form of strength. You know, cultivating vulnerability in the face of another person when we do not know how they will treat us is incredibly strong. It is a marker of strength. When you have had experiences in which somebody else seemed not trustworthy, we'll put a label on that person and we'll withdraw our energy, we'll close our hearts. This is normal. Saturn coming to Scorpio now says, please look at this in a new way. Please break it down, make a list, you know, break it down, look at it in a different way so that you can, in essence, through some hard work and realism, free yourself from being constricted through this. And what I offer people when we work on scorpionic issues is that when somebody else seems not trustworthy, you're actually reacting to a past pattern in which you felt you couldn't trust yourself. Meaning, you chose to be vulnerable, you opened up. And another person perhaps didn't honor that in a kind, gentle, compassionate, smooth way. And you felt betrayed, you felt lied to, you felt abandoned, something like this in a scorpionic way. You fully opened up, here I am, emotionally naked, absolutely, fully, vibrantly vulnerable. Right? Never heard those two words before, but just this sense of this is all I am. Here it is. And somebody inadvertently or intentionally handled you roughly, or, you know, kicked you in the gut, or kind of pushed you off to the curb. You're going to keep your scorpionic radar at the ready for a very long time. Well, that person was an older person. So then older becomes a criterion for you later in life to perhaps not trust people. That person, you know, smelled like this. That person laughed like this, right? That person was this gender. That person wanted this and this only, like this kind of, you know, making a profile of constructing a profile for your later use from the person who hurt you, who betrayed your vulnerability. Well, Saturn comes to Scorpio now and says, the truth of it is that trusting another person and choosing to be vulnerable is an unbelievable human asset. And you can't, in fact, Saturn says now, or will, starting October 5th, 2012, you can, in fact, not be healthy if you don't share yourself with others. So now what I offer you is a different way of looking at trust. When I open up to you and say, this is all there is, here I am, naked, vulnerable. Here I am, all of me. However you respond is in fact an indicator of what I need to experience when I make myself vulnerable. Meaning, if you don't handle me well, or if you treat me roughly, or push me off to the side of the curb, or kick me in the gut, or somewhere else, if you do that, then I have to take responsibility for the fact that there is somewhere in my field a belief running that is vibrating the invitation. When I'm vulnerable, I'm not treated well, or I can't trust people, or I open up and I'm always let down, or I open up and I'm always kicked in the gut or somewhere else, or I open up and nobody finds it important. Like, there's some belief running in my field if I experience that. It could be minor from a long time ago, and if it comes up, meaning if I'm betrayed, if I feel handled roughly when I need to be handled well, kind of there are two things. The first thing is there's a belief running in the field. I have to take responsibility for that. And the other thing is I have the opportunity to not shut down in the face of that, but to acknowledge the pain that I have. Even saying to that person, wow, I need you to treat me softly. I need you to treat me well and to honor the fact that I've just revealed myself to you. Now, in the face of that pain, in the midst of that pain, a part of us, a Scorpionic part, does want to shut down. So what I want to tell you is that Saturn in Scorpio will make it attractive to you to shut down in the face of being hurt by another. That would be a very low-level Saturnian response to Scorpionic situations. What you want to do, if you want to get anything valuable out of this transit, is accept the reality of what's happening. Understand that this pain is real, it's valid, yet don't put it on the other person. Put it on the fact that you expected something. Put it on the fact that your requirements perhaps weren't communicated clearly. Many of us finding ourselves in that kind of situation will put a label of meaning on it that says, I shouldn't have opened up. Or I shouldn't have opened up to this person because he or she was like this and I knew it the whole time. Right, which is carrying forward a sense of wounding from the past. And I'm challenging you to hear that voice if it comes up and not to do it, not to respond, but to acknowledge the pain, even communicate with a person. Perhaps you can't do it right then. Perhaps you have to say, wow, that really hurt me. I need to go lick my wounds for a little bit and let's catch up in a few hours or a couple days or next week or whatever it is. Resist the low-level Saturnian impulse to slam the door in a Scorpionic way. I always want to present to you a spiritual perspective on how to do astrology, how to think astrologically, how to live this way. And at all turns, there is an invitation. At every transit, every moment, every day, there is an invitation to do something in a slightly different way, to expand our repertory of responses to energy, our experience of, our incorporation of, our integration of, and our responses to energy. With Saturn in Scorpio, it's going to be easy to be hurt deeply and want to slam the door. If you don't do that, then you have a chance to evolve spiritually through adapting Saturn energy within you. There is an incredibly wide range of every energy within you, incredibly wide range of possibilities with Saturn in Scorpio. As I said, the low level will be slamming the door because you were hurt. A high level is taking responsibility for the fact that you're hurt, acknowledging there must be some way I'm vibrant, not acknowledging in a self-deprecating or judging way. Well, there I did it again. I got hurt again. I must be asking for it. That's not what we're talking about. But recognizing the reality that if you're hurt, you're vibrating, I perhaps in this moment need to be hurt so that I can learn how to change my mind about what's happening. We want to look at the situation in terms of what choices we have in response. You could be an otherwise fully functioning adult who finds yourself revealing some Scorpionic truth, revealing yourself in your Scorpionic emotional nakedness, or your physical nakedness, right? Otherwise fully functioning adult who has some situation like this come up, and it's going to be easy for an inner kid within you to not want to feel that scorpionic pain. We've all felt overpowered in different times in our lives. Many of us start, I mean, it starts when we're kids. And a part of you might want to shut that down. Instead of letting that fear of pain drive you, embrace the pain. Accept it for what it is, which is a marker of your humanness. It's a symbol. It's a real truth. You know, it's a reflection that's real and true of the fact that you feel deeply. So Saturn in Scorpio, for the next almost 3 years, wants us to make peace with this depth of feeling, to reach out to others, to open up to others, and to change our minds about what it means when we are hurt. Another level of this, Saturn in Scorpio, and we talked about betrayal, honesty, truth, and then the opening vulnerability and the trust. Oh, I want to say one more thing here. This notion of trust, I want to revisit this thing about what happens when you find you can't trust somebody. That's what this whole kind of last, you know, 5 or 7 minutes was about. It doesn't mean when you can't trust somebody that you can't trust them. It doesn't mean you shouldn't open up. It means that perhaps your radar for opening up to the people who in whom that opening serves your highest good, right? Regarding whom that opening serves the highest good of all, including yours. And sometimes your radar is wonderful, but you need to learn how to trust it. That's actually the most common thing when I speak with people, regardless of their age. When I speak with clients and we do kind of clean up scorpionic or plutonian or eighth house pain and difficulty, including sexual violence, including violent or dominating parental figures or boss figures or spouses, what happens is the person's radar is fantastic, but he or she doesn't know how to trust it. If this resonates with you, there are some practical tips that you need to learn and incorporate in order to learn how to trust this scorpionic radar of yours. And let's say that out of the last 13 times you opened up to somebody, 12 times in a scorpionic way, whether emotionally or vulnerability, energetically or sexually even, trust-wise, let's say that 12 out of those 13 times your heart was dashed against the terrible rocks of cruel reality, something very dramatic and poetical. Oh, the pathos. But let's say that that's true, 12 out of 13 times. A part of you wants to establish that as a proven track record of why you shouldn't open up. So when you find you can't trust others, understand that trust is a choice that you make. And if somebody else seems not able to handle it, let that person off the hook. If you've had betrayal or pain or abuse in the past when you felt opened up and vulnerable, go back. I'm challenging you. I'm inviting you, but with a challenge, because it's not the easiest thing, to go back through your history and rewrite why these things happened. You were learning about who gets to be strong when. And you were learning about trust and betrayal. What you're supposed to walk away from is not that other people, certain other people who wear, who are 5 feet tall and wear flannel shirts or who play guitar or whatever these weird combinations of variables, some inner neighborhood watch organization part of you has determined means a lack of trustworthiness. That's not what's happening. But understand that sometimes we open up to people because it's in our heart to do so. And sometimes other people can't handle it. And sometimes we get hurt. Accepting this with some grace and creates peace. Understand that everybody, this is another Spiritual Truth 101 kind of thing. Everybody does the best that he or she can with the information and tools and conditioning that he or she has at the time. I do work with a lot of people who have these kind of scorpionic trust issues, who open up to somebody fully, find out they can't deal with it, and then they think, like I said, I shouldn't open up, or something's wrong with this, or I can't do that. And the fact is that the other person, even if that person got angry, we just respond to anger. But that person, it would be getting angry in response to his or her own pain. Again, anger covers over pain. So when we reveal ourselves, when we reveal our scorpionic plutonian truth to others, we reveal ourselves scorpionically, whether we're physically naked or emotionally and energetically naked. We encounter others who are not prepared for the level of truth, personal truth, that we are offering. We need to let other people off the hook from being freaked out when we've revealed ourselves and they cannot deal with it. Everything that I have said thus far about Saturn and Scorpio with trust, betrayal, responsibility, not projecting, blah, 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 all that stuff also applies to your existing, perhaps monogamous, perhaps committed, perhaps long-term sexual relationships. There is a truth that, I mean, sex in general, when we actually are going to reveal who we are, not just kind of get it on, but sex in general in that kind of more intense way, that kind of more honest way. That will also have a lot to do with Saturn's transit in Scorpio by revealing truths about who we are sexually in response to others, in reflection from others. And so understand that when you open up and somebody shuts down, please understand it's about the other person's ability to deal with the level of truth that you're carrying at that moment. So like I say, all this applies to sexuality and sexual expression as well. Even if, like I said, you're in a long-term monogamous blah, 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 etc., whatever other adjectives you want to put in there. Reality check on how we join together is another way to look at that way. And then all of this will also potentially apply to finances that you share with others. Shared possessions, shared resources, and shared responsibilities. I kind of went into a lot of detail on these two other categories, and now I'm saying please apply it. Apply everything I've said, and if you need to, go back and listen to it with a mind to shared finances. You know, go back because it's incredibly, potentially incredibly fruitful to apply it in that new direction as well. I do want to say something, though, about this idea of a shared responsibility. When we get into Scorpionic terrain, let me contrast it with the Libra thing for a second. In Libra, I'm listening to you, and I'm telling you who I am, and I'm learning about myself through how you see me. In Scorpio, lots of times we can bypass that step and get very intense and entangled, sometimes very quickly, and if not quickly, very thoroughly over time. Saturn coming to Scorpio says, look at where you're entangled, whether it was quick or slow. Look at how you're wrapped up in somebody else. Look at how your goals might be mitigating each other or modifying each other because of how you're entangled. So Saturn says there's a reality check here about shared goals and how they can sometimes eclipse individual goals. And the reality check of Saturn sometimes means, very often, means individuals making a decision to clean up boundary issues in their lives, in their life, in his or her life, and then learning in a new way how to come together again and develop shared goals and shared priorities. This notion of shared responsibilities is very interesting to me because within a Libra relationship, we're trying to find a good balance. Within a Scorpionic relationship, there is a balance in play that may or may not work for both parties. You know, I joke about this sometimes, but maybe I assume a responsibility towards you to not push your buttons about what you're afraid of. Maybe I take responsibility to not point out that you have this thing that really interferes with your life and you haven't dealt with it yet. You know, my Scorpionic sensitivity is how I know about that. But maybe I'm respecting you. Maybe that's a term that we have agreed upon, even implicitly, that for me to respect you also requires me I don't push your buttons and cause you in some way to force you to look at these issues. And maybe, you know, you do the same thing for me. I'm just thinking about generally, I don't want to talk about myself too much, but I just think about in generally my relationship now, there are certain things that I know that my partner knows I'm aware of that she's working on, and vice versa. But we have a lot of understanding and acceptance and compassion for the other person. And these things about each other can drive the other person crazy. But there's a level of mutual respect that doesn't avoid the truth, and that's what I want to get at here. Maybe I don't point out to you that your relationship with your mom drains you and makes you a grumpy person. And maybe you don't point out to me that, you know, my relationship with sugar or over-exercise or avoiding something, you know, is a problem. You know, maybe we have these boundaries. But Saturn in Scorpio says, in general, please get over your fears and understand that honesty is balm. Even honesty that's very difficult to deal with, or honesty about topics that are difficult to deal with, but it actually leads to healing. So as Saturn enters Scorpio, all the things that you're aware of, you know, in your intimate partners of various kinds, including, you know, family that with whom you're close and friends where there's a shared intimacy, look at the responsibilities that you have towards each other that perhaps avoid the truth, or perhaps ensure that you don't have to deal with things that are difficult for you to deal with. How you relate to those issues in other people's lives, and how you relate to that idea of I don't want to trigger that person's stuff or garbage or crap, whatever it is, how you relate to that does have to do with Saturn. And so because this model of I see that this needs to be done, how do I respond to this person who avoids doing it? Your judgment, your idea of should, you know, your work ethic, your sense of morality, or your just practical sense of how this affects the person and how working with it or doing something constructive, proactive, positive about it would actually be helpful. But in that process, get to know, like as you see that part of you talking, well, I mean, if she would only do this or if he would only, you know, do this. As you see that part of you talking in your head, refrain from doing anything about it, but don't make that part of you wrong. Because you're seeing something valuable, but you have 100% choice in how you approach the other person. When we get into Saturn in Scorpio energy, maybe it's not the right time yet to do that. But, you know, to bring up something and to say, look, I really feel that your avoidance of this issue handicaps you. You know, maybe it's not the right time to do that. But when you feel the right time is, or it comes up in conversation, because that's another thing I'll get to in a second with Saturn and Scorpio. But when it comes up in conversation, if it does, understand that you have the choice to be a compassionate Saturnian figure in pointing something out to the other person and encouraging that person not to judge him or herself and letting that person know that you love him or her. But you recognize the truth that this something very difficult is afoot. It's something very difficult to deal with. This thing about it coming up in conversation, you know, Saturn and Libra, we are, well, you know, I really want you home by 6. I really want you to kind of, you know, give me space in the morning. This kind of Saturn and Libra stuff, you know, where we're negotiating the right kind of a foundational ground space on which to have relationships of different kinds. It gets intensified in Scorpio. If we took the lesson from Saturn and Libra that communication is paramount and that every relationship's vitality is based in communication, when it gets into Scorpio, the deeper stuff can come up. So each person, there's a possibility that people, you know, individuals in relationship and otherwise, will become more aware of their own psychological garbage that drives behaviors that drive the other person crazy. So maybe Saturn and Libra, maybe you've been telling me for 2.5 years that the fact that I'm late all the time stresses you out. Well, when it gets into Saturn in Scorpio, that gets deepened. You might actually see in me, or yourself, whatever your issue is, but you might see in me more about that issue. You might sense below the surface more of my psychological motivation, Scorpionic keywords, key phrase. And then conversely, I may finally see what you're talking about me, you know, what you're reflecting to me, by getting deeply into my feeling about something, and that, you know, getting in my feeling in it, can take me down the Scorpionic elevator, down into my heart about it. Oh, that's why I do that. Oh, so this is a definite and wonderful possibility for Saturn coming to Scorpio. psychological insights about practical matters and also practical insights into dealing with deep-seated emotional issues, regardless of the source. And that takes me to the next thing about Saturn and Scorpio. You know, Scorpio is the sign of psychological understanding and penetration, and the sign of still waters run deep. So it's a sign of being emotional and also having insights into it when we can curb our reactivity to our emotions and being emotional. Saturn is coming into Scorpio, and those of us who have a heavy Scorpio signature of some kind may, and then also other people too who are just ready to kind of deal with being an emotional being in a new, on a new level, or ready to deal on a new level with it, with that reality. Because, you know, all the stuff with the end of the Mayan calendar, here's a tangent alert, Mayan calendar ended October 28, 2011, and when that was done, actually I might have messed up that date, but the end of October 2011, when that was over, you know, all the tools are in place for the evolution of consciousness. It doesn't mean everybody's consciousness has evolved, but it means that we get more insights into the ways we're wired and how to evolve consciousness. Things come into consciousness. One of the things that happens is the veils between dimensions are gone, and that includes the partitions within our consciousness from this life and other lives. So since then, for now almost, you know, I guess it's maybe 10 or 11 months since then, it's recording the end of August 2012, since then we've had more access to the depth of emotion that we carry. The shaping from earlier in this life and past lives, including traumatic experiences, including our passions, including our fears of failure or our perceptions of having failed things, all of these intense emotions and the judgments that attend them can rush to the surface much more quickly. Past life pain, trauma, loss, all these things can come to the surface, and we have to learn how to deal with them. So now Saturn comes to Scorpio, the sign of emotional intensity and depth, and still waters run deep. So if we now that's the end of the tangent. It's actually more like a footnote or endnote, but if we have a propensity to be intensely emotional in, like, overdoing that or underdoing it, Saturn in Scorpio says, please learn how to moderate that. Please learn how to navigate that in a conscious way by having a reality check on what you're feeling and why. Now, Saturn in any water sign would ask us to have a check on what we're feeling. But it's in Scorpio, it's going to be in Scorpio as of October 5th, and that almost 3-year period is going to say, yes, but you must also understand why. So, just emotionally speaking, intense emotions-wise, past traumas, past life loss, you know, whatever, memories of death and whatever it is, all of these different things that kind of relate to our Scorpionic fears, betrayal, loss, you know, that kind of thing. Saturn in Scorpio is going to say, please learn how to moderate that by being healthy, you know, proactive, but doing a reality check on what you're feeling and why. I often say this to people, and also like in my blog and podcast and in readings, actually, when I talk about myself, but when I'm actually a Scorpio, Scorpio sun, and I have Pluto conjunct Venus. And so my relationships tend to be very Scorpionic as well. And, I tend to feel deeply. I also have a Cancerian South Node and a strong moon, whatever. But the fact is that if I'm having a really difficult time and I call, let's say, another intuitive for a reading, that person says, I've actually been told to meditate things out, just to meditate something out. And I always say, well, I can't do that because then I don't understand what's actually happening. I have to kind of walk over the coals of some difficult, even torturous issue until I understand it. And then I am able to let it go. So that's a Scorpionic thing. We can't always just let something go because the pain that attends it, that comes with it, that was imprinted by the original experience is so intense that we respond to the fact of the pain. That's a Scorpionic way to be. Responding to the fact of the pain with perhaps anger or resentment or jealousy or the perceived desire or need to lash out, to seek revenge, that kind of thing. To get back at somebody, that's a very Scorpionic thing as well. But remember, all anger, including resentment, revenge, and jealousy, all that stuff that's imbued with anger, all of that is sourced in pain. So for me, I kind of have to walk over the coals of it in order to really, and you know, really understand it. But that involves refeeling the pain and then digging below the surface to feel into it. Now, I do not mean to paint the picture that you need to be like this. I want to point out to you, you know, and I don't really want to paint a picture of myself as a cartoon about this, but I am kind of active in my scorpionic self. I am active in those ways. My sun, you know, and then my Venus is deeply affected scorpionically as well. You know, we all have this part of us, though. I'm living that and kind of, I make it my business to try to articulate it because I do draw a lot of scorpionic clients, Plutonian, eighth housey clients, in order to kind of get to the bottom of these things. But understanding is critical here. But Saturn says, please be realistic about what's happening. Now, some of us might do this scorpionic thing on a roller coaster, and we might be very dramatic. Oh, the pathos, you know, like, oh, such incredible feeling, and oh, the pain, and ah, you know, and that. You know, I use the image of walking over coals, and oh, my feet, ah, the coal, you know, the kind of dramatic, overly dramatic thing. Saturn says, well, I mean, maybe you can entertain yourself that way. But will that really bring you to doing something useful, productive, proactive, healthy about it that actually heals what the original pain was? So it's not, you know, our default impression may be, oh, well, now I'm supposed to not feel, or now I'm supposed to step on that feeling. That is not it at all. That would be a Saturnian reaction from within you, that is Saturn being black and white, and the assumed or perceived and absorbed models of role models or models of authority that you've taken on and developed in your life being harsh, critical, judging in a negative way. The fact is that Saturn and Scorpio done the high way, you know, the way in the direction of evolution, in the direction of energetic consciousness, spiritual evolution, will have you seeing a part of you that has that drama, perhaps triggered by a particular, you know, painful experience with another person that echoes something from the past, but will have you seeing that and inviting you to say, oh, look at that dramatic intensity. Yeah, part of me wants to revel in the intensity and perhaps, you know, metaphorically foam at the mouth a little bit because I'm so like rabid about my pain about this. I'm angry that I got hurt. And Saturn's going to say, get grounded. take some time out, don't respond, don't react. And that can actually come in the form of somebody else telling you to stop it already. That's where I'm going with this. That can come in the form of somebody else saying, look how dramatic you are. And that can actually come through in a critical, judging way. Again, that would be something that a scorpionic hot button could get pressed by and be angry at this person for not acknowledging the depth of your feeling. Now you, taking the evolutionary spiritual Saturn invitation here, look at the part of you that wants to react that way and say, right, yeah, part of me gets hurt and can get angry if somebody else doesn't validate the intensity of my feelings or the depth or the seriousness, the reality of my pain. If somebody doesn't validate my pain, here the invitation is for you to validate yourself. Don't react. Observe the situation. See this other person unable to validate your pain and say, this person's an important teacher for me to stop waiting for somebody else to validate the intense pain that I may have experienced when I was a kid or 10 years ago or 2 years ago at that breakup or whatever it was. You know, when I was lied to and betrayed and abandoned, etc. Or abused by somebody who was powerful, who seemed or was more powerful than I was. Those are some notes on navigating some of the generalized emotional things that may come up for people with transiting Saturn in Scorpio. Again, acknowledging the realism that we have in parts of us that are intense, and to celebrate that, and also to aim ourselves in healthy, empowered directions. Remaining calm is a fantastic tool. It is probably the scorpionic pot of gold at the end of the intense emotional rainbow. I don't know if that works, but we're gonna use that one. I'm gonna keep that one because when you opt to see what how you actually respond to things and kind of deal with the intensity you may carry, other people respond to that And that we, and when not conscious, you know, when not grounded, clear, calm, and intentional, and conscious and aware of what's happening, and we're self-responsible, being a key here, when we're not in that space, we can get into cycles of reactivity. I revealed a truth to you about me. You reacted negatively because you can't deal with that level of truth right this minute. And then I'm hurt because you didn't validate or accept or witness what I'm telling you, what I'm feeling. And then I'm mad at you, and then I, you know, shoot a barb your way, and then you get mad at me because you were just minding your own business, blah, blah, blah. And then we have this cycle of reactivity. And it leads us to close off from each other and not accept and not give the benefit of the doubt and not be compassionate towards each other. So if you remain calm, you can see that dynamic is possible, and you can stem the tide of reactivity. You can pull back from ever lashing out at anybody. For some of us, the impulse to lash out is, you know, lessened by 90%, and we don't, you know, and we don't perceive it a problem going forward. We have to train ourselves over months and years, perhaps, to pull back from that reactivity by being responsible for ourselves and giving the other people the benefit of the doubt and just accepting responsibility for validating ourselves. But some of us will retain an intense level of reactivity in that vein, but every time we'll be able to pull back because we can actually then, we can accept the truth of all how these dynamics work, and then we can actually in time come to laugh at ourselves for being wonderfully human. You know, we can take joy in that intense feeling of vulnerability and having it gone wrong. We can even revel in the fact that somebody else triggered us into feeling this incredibly important part of our humanity. So calm is a pot of gold. Calm is. And as I've mentioned before, taking responsibility and all that stuff, that is kind of what we're talking about here. Acknowledging this person as a reflection of what you need to learn. Not seeing that person was stronger than I was. That person happened in that moment to trigger something that you needed triggered. Person was a well-placed teacher for you in important ways. What underlies all of this is a willingness to allow what is under the surface to come to the surface, A. B, making peace with the fact of it, you know, the fact that it exists, and the fact that we tend not to want to look at it, right? Shadow stuff with Pluto and Scorpio stuff. And then being willing to change our minds about what it means that we feel the pain and how to react from that. Those four steps will radically alter your experience of Scorpio. And Saturn coming to Scorpio is a fantastic opportunity to roll up your sleeves and make a game plan for stemming back from the reactivity from pain. It's incredibly important, and I hope you do that. It's certainly what I'm going to be working with. Though I'm able to articulate all this stuff, I do have my own times when I get hurt, and part of me wants to lash out at somebody else. I don't do it anymore. But when I get really hurt, I'll share this with you. I'm happy to share this with clients as an example, so I'm happy to share, you know, here in this kind of format. Scorpionic reactivity, sense of being hurt. When somebody hurts me deeply, whether I know them well or not, part of me wants to lash out because I've been so hurt, you know. But I allow myself to have a revenge fantasy for 2, 3, 4 days. Usually it's 3 or 4 days. And I meticulously plan out how I'm going to get back at that person. And then I don't do it. And then on day 3 or 4, I tend to calm down a little. And then I realize this is an exercise in me honoring the part of me that's so hurt it wants to respond by hurting somebody else. I can celebrate that and forget the plan and drop it and laugh at myself. In a supportive way, not in a, you know, how ridiculous, what an idiot way, but how ridiculous that parts of us want to hurt each other when we're hurt. You know, it's just when we think about it and when we set some conscious intention towards the scorpionic part of ourselves, we learn that ultimately choosing compassion for the other person is great, is necessary, is the only way through it, but it's really important to acknowledge the part of us that would respond from pain. We never want to with dealing with Scorpio, especially when Saturn comes to Scorpio, and it's so easy to slam the door on our own subconscious because we're afraid of what might be down there. You know, to be afraid of what I might do in response to pain. Well, one of the reasons that I am, you know, I'm able to embrace my Plutonian identity is that I accept the fact that a part of me can hurt others. A part of me can burn bridges and, you know, march into some new territory and slash and burn all the fields. Like, a part of me knows that I'm capable of doing that. But I, on a daily basis, choose compassion. I choose love. And this is a way of dealing with the reality of Scorpio energy without shoving anything under the surface. Now I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about the mutual reception of Saturn and Scorpio with Pluto and Capricorn. It adds layers and levels to how we understand and navigate both sets of invitations. So for a portion of this time, they will be sextile each other, natural sextile between Scorpio and Capricorn, which is a triggering effect, a stimulating triggering effect. But just by nature of the mutual perception, that's important for the duration of this almost 3-year Saturn transit through Scorpio. Just some basic notes on Pluto and Capricorn. Pluto, as the planet of figuring out what strength is and power is, also on a regular basis dredges up what's under the surface, right? Actively confronts us with our fears and challenges us to respond to our fears, hopefully in a proactive way. In Capricorn, a lot of this has to do with authority and structure and the long term and the practical side of safety and security, right? The emotional side of safety and security would be the Cancerian archetype, sign of Cancer. But here we have Pluto in Capricorn, the sign of the concrete nurturer, the sign of the person who, the breadwinner, and who brings home the bacon, blah, 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 the stuff about work and life and money and material reality of survival and hard work and how we turn that into survival. Pluto, Capricorn is also about ambition and respect and social standing, and it's about goals over the long term, working over the long term to become expert, competent basically, but then expert at something, and then also being respected for that. So Pluto entered January 2008, it entered Capricorn, and extends to 2023, so it's a 15-year transit. And Pluto in Capricorn has asked us to get to the bottom of who's in charge of our lives, right? Looking at the planet of power saying what structures in your life lead you to be disempowered or to forfeit your power to somebody else who seems more qualified to run your life. This is the source of the financial meltdown. This is the source of, you know, the business, you know, becoming aware of, more aware and more deeply aware of the effects of the pharmaceutical industry on our health and big agricultural industry and how all these things are contributing to our not being able to care for ourselves over the long term, meaning messing up our health in the short term. And the banking, how the banking thing and how the government, another Capricorn thing, how the government has interceded in the banking thing to try to save this messed up system from suffocating itself, which it's desperately trying, you know, it's, you know, trying to do given how it set itself up and feeds itself. So there's a lot of this stuff that's been overturned, a lot of stuff that's, you know, are structures that are being messed with because we need to see how we forfeit power to structures in our lives. So that's a bit on the Pluto and Capricorn deal. Now, Saturn in Scorpio turns that symbolism around and says, authority, how is authority, that, how does authority and authority figures deal with power? So the mutual reception can have some light bulb moments, right? Ahas. In individual consciousness and observing, an individual is observing social trends. How our culture is set up is about normalization. Again, it's, you know, society is Saturnian. When we're doing it right, it's also Uranian, but for the most part, it's Saturnian. Cohesion, normalcy, shoulds, you know, laws, all these things have to do with the Capricornian or Saturnian control-based mechanisms to ensure consistent outcomes, right? I'm sure you've all heard that. The real point of how our educational system is designed as far as primary education and secondary education is to turn out people who can work in factories, you know, kind of getting used to doing boring things all day, memorizing certain details, regurgitating them, and being okay with being on a clock and feeding at certain times, you know, like kind of minimizing individuality in order to create factory workers. Well, that's a, you know, that's a whole thing about the Capricorn Saturn archetype. Normalization. So this mutual reception, you know, this 15-year thing of Pluto and Capricorn, and then this shorter, almost 3-year period of Saturn and Scorpio, will point out to you in what ways your normalizing tendencies and your submission to cultural norms actually is to your detriment. Many of us, when we find stuff like that out, we're angry. Again, anger is a response to pain. Anger always covers over pain. So even rewind and listen to what I suggested doing about that, you know, a few minutes ago, earlier in this MP3, because that's disempowering. You lose energy when you are angry that somebody else has hurt you, even if it's a structure, a corporate environment, a corporate climate, or a political climate that has to do with corporations and money and banks and all this stuff. You lose energy. So this mutual reception for me seems to cry out a double dose from both sides, right? To both sides of the coin, the Pluto in Saturn sign and Saturn in Pluto sign, to rethink what power and strength are and what it means to have power and strength and to do this well for ourselves and our lives. With the Pluto in Capricorn, to be empowered means restructuring things, right? Pluto is the bulldozer. Like, nothing can survive, nothing that doesn't work and doesn't stand well on its own will survive a Pluto transit. So what structures in your life need to crumble? Instead of looking at that as the universe stepping on you, right? Or powers outside your control, destroying what works well in your life, it doesn't work. If Pluto can touch it, it doesn't work. Flat out, period, end of story. Instead of looking at it from a negative point of view, the universe isn't supportive of me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Look at it from the opportunity that Pluto is saying, you're actually a divine, powerful being who can create your reality, who is actually always creating your reality. So look at your biases, look at your assumptions, look at your beliefs about the structures in your life. A job crumbles, Pluto in Capricorn. Classic. Well, what are you passionate about doing, Pluto says? What should you be doing that would liven you up, that would open your heart? What thing matters to you more than this thing that just crumbled? Because the only reason it could crumble, Pluto says, is because it didn't work in the first place. Or it worked a long time ago, but you grew out of it, you've evolved. Pluto also says here in Capricorn, you can't have security if security is based on killing your heart or shutting yourself off from your passions or limiting your divine inspirational power. That's me on a soapbox, yes. Poetical words, inspiring, you know, attempts to inspire, whatever. This is true, though. Pluto says, please start living more alive, being more alive, by honoring yourself on all levels. Pluto in Capricorn also has to do, and I'm going to tie this together with the Saturn thing in a minute, but the last thing I'll say on the Pluto in Capricorn thing for now is that if it doesn't inspire you, it doesn't involve that you operate on multiple levels. If it doesn't inspire you, if it doesn't make you feel terribly alive, terrifically alive, absolutely fully vibrant and vivacious, if it doesn't do that, it's not worth doing. And if it does bring you alive, it involves passions and desires that exist below the surface. Okay. And now the Saturn and Scorpio side of that very same issue says, for you to be the right kind of adult right now, you have to transform. I can't believe I've just done like, how long is that? You know, like an hour and 10 minutes or something on this without even talking about transformation with the sign of Scorpio and the planet Pluto. But, you know, that's another huge, important, you know, double underlined starred thought when it comes to Scorpio and Pluto. Transformation. So whatever gets bulldozed, you know, replace it with something that inspires you. Transform yourself into vibrancy, into passionately living, which is what Pluto is all about. But you have to bring to the table and out from the, you know, out of the closet and out from underneath the table and out from under the bed is what I meant. And down from the dark, dank, dusty, musty attic and up from the moldy basement, you have to bring parts of you that are intense. You can hear this Plutonian excitement in my voice right now. I live with this all the time. I work on this. What makes me passionate? Sometimes it's things that challenge the status quo. Sometimes it's things that challenge people's comfort levels. That's the reality of healthy Pluto. Authenticity, even at the cost of making some other people uncomfortable. That's what Pluto is about. So Saturn in Scorpio and Pluto in Capricorn, transforming how your life is structured so that you are more alive. Now, Pluto's thing is to bulldoze things along the way. Saturn in Scorpio's thing is to limit some of the Scorpio reactivity and roller coasters and stuff like that so that you can get more realistic about how to clean up and then focus and ground your Scorpionic self. So in the case of emotional reactivity, the realism that comes in with the Saturn invitation needs to be, you know, as I said, understanding the cause, the psychological root and source and trigger of what it is that has you on an emotional roller coaster, and then doing something proactive about it that is probably retraining yourself over a longer period of time. So those two different angles actually lead you to doing the energy of transformation, the energy of authentic, inspired, uninhibited passion, other Pluto words, doing that in better ways. So that's the mutual reception bit. Given that, the next qualitative thing to explore, before we get to the quantitative stuff about the retrograde periods, degrees and dates, and then also the returns, the next section is really about power over and power under. And this is important for Saturn in Scorpio and Pluto in Capricorn. So now that I've explored that mutual reception, understanding how those things are kind of the same but different, or different but the same, having certain things in common, I want to talk about the other thing that happens when Saturn is coming to Scorpio, which is revamping our ideas of power and strength. A realistic look at what Plutonian empowerment is about. If you've had a soundbite or a reading from me, or the Living in the Present Tense Nettle Report, or if you've read my book, The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel, you've read about my views on Pluto, about, and extending that to Scorpio, but about the empowerment journey of the soul. And in general, we have lived through duality, which, if I'm strong, I probably had to do things that perhaps have robbed other people of strength, right? Or if I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm self-confident, chances are if I've lived through duality, that I have gotten that at the expense of somebody else's power, strength, and competence. Living through duality ties power and strength and therefore self-confidence and therefore the ability to love ourselves to material reality. For some people, youth, vigor, strength, health, connections, resources, money, objects, land, houses, tying material reality to the basis of having self-confidence or substituting that for the basis of self-confidence. So Saturn in Scorpio, while Pluto's in Capricorn, brings in this invitation to do a reality check on what you think power and strength are. If you listen to me enough, in all the work I do, you hear me say that word empowerment so many times. I try to explain it every time I do that, every time I use it, but I'm going to do it again here. And since we've tied it together for so long with material reality, or we've based our ability to feel strong and powerful on material reality, we miss the Plutonian Scorpionic opportunity, which is to absolutely, unflinchingly, in an unfettered way, and without shame, know all parts of ourselves. Unflinching, unfettered, unashamed self-knowledge. Followed by unflinching, unashamed, unfettered self-acceptance. That's the true definition of Plutonian strength and empowerment. If you're familiar with how I use Pluto in a chart, I start there when I do a karmic analysis of a birth chart. The Soul's Journey soundbites are the primary way that happens these days, because I do quite a bit more of those than I do hour-long readings, people, you know, trying out my services and getting an overview of how I do things. And in that context, Puto represents the empowerment journey that the soul intends its humans, including you, undertake. But because the humans have for so long identified strength and power with material reality, many, 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 many of us, in fact, all of us to some degree, are dealing with past life karma, including beliefs about why things have happened and memories and pain about not having strength. How that looks like in our day-to-day lives is typically feeling overpowered by circumstance, people, individuals, or groups, or social processes or governments, right, or businesses or something. And then also feeling powerless in the face of a challenge involving one of those elements or directly from one of those elements. So I advise people to choose to be self-confident after knowing all parts of the self, including the dark parts, and the parts that are labeled dark that we don't really want to always have to deal with or shove into these attics and corners and under the bed and these dank basements in this psychic mansion. So absolute self-knowledge, unflinching, unhesitating, unqualified, unashamed self-knowledge and self-acceptance. This is the key to empowerment. Saturn coming to Scorpio, you're going to need to challenge. You're going to be challenged by what you think power over and power under are about. If you shy away from being strong because you don't want to overpower somebody, now you have to fix it. If you try to keep the upper hand in certain dynamics because you don't want to feel overpowered by somebody else, now is your time to fix it. If you avoid confrontation because you don't want to be underpowered or overpowered, now is your time to find middle ground and moderate that, to learn the right role of approaching power within a relationship. Again, communication, honesty about self, and hearing the truth of the other and handling each other with loving compassion as you reveal vulnerabilities and truth about yourselves. That is how we create scorpionic power together. But you must first see all aspects of yourself and then accept them, including what you would do if pressed into a corner, painted in a corner. What would you would do if you were so hurt that you wanted to lash out. Accepting the truth, part of you would be inspired to do something rash to respond from pain. Accepting it, letting it go, and choosing how you will behave. Choosing what's in your heart, choosing what you will nurture and foster in your heart as far as that reactivity goes, if you react at all. Power over, power under dominates on this planet, which is why so many of us are, well, so many of us can have some messed up ideas about what it would mean or look like or require to be strong. And then also we have judgments about other people who want to be strong and powerful or show up as strong and powerful. One of the secrets here is that when you look at all these parts of yourself and you accept them without shame, without reservation or hesitation, you make all these parts assets. You make all these parts of you that have an edge, a scorpionic edge, you make them all allies and you acknowledge them as your peers, but you're the person who's going to make the decisions. And then when you do that, it is much easier to see the world through your heart because you're able to navigate all aspects of your heart, all aspects of your own emotional nature. And your relationship with power and strength radically alter. It is transformed. And Saturn coming to Scorpio is importantly about transforming our relationship to power. When we see others who have power, who are drunk on ego and about overpowering others, like letting those people just be reflections of one of the possibilities that happens. But check your reaction. See what parts of you think that means. Does that mean the person is selfish, only out for power or money? Like, look at the biases that you have. Look at what assumptions and opinions you have. They will be related to karma, beliefs about what's happening from different lives, including this one, based in seeing people who have power of one kind or another, or assume it and exercise it. Every single one of us is invited over the course of all of these lives lived across the Earth timeline. Many people would call them our present lives and past lives. From the soul's perspective, they're happening all at the same time, and I've been tutored and trained in order to view it that way. So I say your soul's other lives, or our lives across time, across your timeline. And our karma being in the face of the edict of the king or the parliament. You know, our experiences, our emotional devastation in the face of a corporation ending our financial security. You know, our pain in the face of our religion banning us. The religion in which we grew up and loved God through. You know, shunning us for having a political opinion or being gay or committing a crime or so, whatever it is. Or if you're a woman, in certain times, speaking up, thinking you have an opinion. It's kind of like power over, power under. Everything that we experience that hurts us in those ways is a reflection that we need to learn about the true definition of power. How to navigate these things in the moment is to, or includes, to accept thoroughly what we're doing and why. Look at all the parts of us that are hurt, perhaps are angry or have anger, and accepting the fact that we are wired the way we are because this is what's best for us to explore as a divine being, learning about what it means to be human. Learning that, you know, making the decision that our difference that makes other people uncomfortable is actually a sign that we are loving ourselves enough to honor our true nature, regardless of what the status quo has to say. So that's a general Scorpionic thing, right? But Saturn in Scorpio is going to ask us to revisit our histories in these arenas. And the Pluto and Capricorn mutual reception kind of sets the stage already. You know, it's already been there for over 4 years almost 5 years, over 4.5 years as of Saturn's entrance to Scorpio on October 5th, 2012 this year. So my recommendation is look at your reactions to people who have power or think they do, and look at your opinions and assumptions about that and take it as a cue to, in a Saturnian way, get to the bottom of what's really happening with that. Look for the psychological indicators within your makeup that trigger that. Look for the source. Understand that perhaps this person who seems a little tyrannical, a little power hungry, maybe that person reminds you of a grandparent or a parent or a sibling. Maybe this person reminds you of a terrible experience you had with a teacher when you were a kid. You know, and look to those cues. You know, look to those cues in your psychology and understand how that links to your emotional reality now. And that will help you. That will help you get through it and take Saturn's invitation to take responsibility for your reactions as well. But please also view this transit, this Saturn and Scorpio transit, as a ticket for you to, if grounded, realistic, you know, etc., if doing Saturn in a positive, compassionate, supportive, forward-looking way, and not in a judging, harsh, critical, door-slamming way, or rock-dragging way, boulder pushing up the hillway, but to transform your relationship with your own empowerment as a human. Every single person has the opportunity to beam an intense amount of self-love that is power. And when you're in that state, when the fuel you're running is self-love instead of self-hate, or fear of self-love, or resentment, or judgment, or shame, or guilt, when you're running an acceptance of self as your primary fuel, you are making a difference in the world around you by creating kind of a wonderful plutonium gas that can spread, a self-loving empowerment gas that spreads around and people happen to inhale haphazardly without knowing it and say, whoa, that person seems very confident in a loving way. But it also enables you to get done what you came here to do. And the plutonium mission for every person is what the soul intends the human learn to become empowered. So you're actually doing the mission that your soul set out for you when you are doing Pluto in a healthy, empowered way. So take the opportunity to transform your relationships with power and strength, power over, power under, and eliminate those. Evolve out of those into absolute self-knowledge and absolute self-acceptance. Now let's talk briefly about these retrograde periods, the degrees and dates, and I want to tell you what to kind of expect with them. Retrograde 1 is February 19th, 2013, at 11, Scorpio 31. And then it's going to retrograde back to July 8th, 2013, at 4, Scorpio 49. Retrograde 2 is March 3rd, 2014. And that is from 23 Scorpio, 19 minutes, to July 20th, 2014, at 16 Scorpio, 38 minutes. And then Saturn enters Sagittarius for the first time December 23rd, 2014. And then it retrogrades March, the third one is March 14th, 2015, at 4 Sagittarius, 55 minutes, to August 2nd, 2015, at 28 Scorpio, 16. And then it leaves Scorpio for the last time in this cycle, September 17th, 2015. So it's a couple weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks shy of a 3-year time doing this dance in Scorpio. Now, what a Saturn retro period is about is rethinking how we're doing Saturn, getting insights into doing Saturn, and one of the ways that that happens is our normal Saturnian thing won't work anymore. We go about our business attempting to do the same thing again, and it just doesn't work, and so we get frustrated, or it works, and it's not satisfying anymore, and we have to rethink something or perhaps revisit something. So whatever you're doing with this empowerment idea, whatever you're doing with checking your emotional roller coaster, acknowledging and validating your own intensity, letting other people off the hook for validating you, whatever you're doing with all this stuff about sexuality and sex and passions and what you share with others, all that stuff that's come before thus far in this MP3, whatever you're doing with that, you know, you're in a learning process, and these retrograde periods are basically pointers to say, hey, why don't you just slow down a little and check out and see how you're doing, what you're doing so far, how it's going. So it's a revisit, rethink, restructure time. Check in, have a, how do you say this? Like a, update your reality check, have a new version of the reality check. You know, maybe when Saturn hits Scorpio, you feel the weight on your shoulders and you're hearing this MP3. So you're going to have more vocabulary than somebody who isn't. You're going to have more thoughts about some of the under-the-surface stuff that's going to happen with this ingress on October 5th, 2012. And maybe you catch yourself wanting to react from hurt or some, whatever. You catch some kind of scorpionic reaction. And then you say, well, I'm going to check that. Well, you know, maybe when you check it, you stop reacting. Maybe you get a little placid and don't stand up for yourself. So maybe at the retrograde, maybe you'll see how, in your effort to step back and pull back from reactivity, maybe now you feel like a wallflower. Maybe you feel like a doormat. So that would be a way of checking your reaction. If, on the other hand, Saturn goes into Scorpio and you get, something happens, you're hurt, you're enraged, and you're not sure how to deal with the pain, during the Saturn retro following that, you might get some more insights into how to deal with the pain. And if not insights, more willingness to look for new information, education, insights about dealing with that pain in a more constructive, proactive way. But rethinking, retooling, and restructuring your approach to these things, that's the critical thing for these retrograde periods. When you have Saturn hitting a place in your chart with Saturn and Scorpio in general, there's a certain work ethic, morality, ethics, realism, reality check, introduce structure in order to achieve a goal or to heal something or clean up something. That's in general. But when we have these retros, if it passes over a point multiple times, you know, the pressure's on, it looks like, right? Because Saturn's going to be dancing over a point or planet in your chart. But understand that that opportunity is in getting several passes on a handful of passes on how to do something in a better way, how to do something differently. And when it passes over the first time, an issue will come to light. When it retrogrades back, retrogrades and moves backward over the point, you may get more insights into how to do that. You may understand in a new context, especially an emotional, psychological context, what it is that happened and why you were triggered. And then on the third pass, when it's going direct, you know, you might be able to finally actually do something proactive about it. So that's a kind of a general model for working with these retrogrades that pass over particular points and planets in your chart. Now we get to the Saturn returns. In general, the return of any planet is a boost in the energy of it to itself, right, in your natal chart, within you and your psyche, your consciousness field. With Saturn, it's the energy of structure, maturity, morality, responsibility, and all that kind of thing. What it means to be an adult, all that kind of thing. And the Saturn return, in both Saturn returns, we'll talk about the first and the second, the Saturn returns in Scorpio have to do with power over, power under, have to do with trust, have to do with revelation, all the stuff we've been talking about earlier in this MP3, because a natal Saturn in Scorpio has everything to do with those, you know, with those themes. And approximately one in 12 of us have natal Saturn in Scorpio. So, you know, a lot of the stuff I've been talking about as a collective invitation during this MP3, if you have Saturn in Scorpio natally, it's applicable to you, you know, as a long-term learning journey over the course of this life. Talking about the first Saturn return, this is roughly 29.5 degree orbit Saturn has in general. So first Saturn return happens, you know, typically before the age of 30, age 28 to 30, rough, you know, depending on where you were born in its orbital cycle and the retrogrades, how they've happened, where you were born relative to retrogrades. And that is the maturation. That is the invitation to surrender, shed, and ideally improve upon versions of maturity that you, about scorpionic ways of being that you have absorbed from role models in your life and people that you've, you know, been around. Basically, your ideas about what maturity are at the first Saturn return need to be upgraded. You're not living your own version of adulthood, essentially. Again, you're in your late 20s. You're probably mostly fully functional, if not fully functional, right? You're probably, you might even be with it. You might even be on top of the ball. But the sad, you know, even if you made certain proactive, mature decisions for yourself at any time previous to this that were seeded and then you nurtured and fostered and you grew up into a kind of adult you want to be, at the first Saturn return, you will have to rethink it. Not in a burdensome way necessarily, but your version of adult needs to evolve at the first Saturn return. Looking around at all the models you've received, now it's time to evolve this and head in a new direction or further what you've been doing with more morality, more responsibility, maturity, and a different kind of adulthood. Many people up to the first Saturn return play at being an adult, or sorry, I don't mean to put you down if this is you, but model themselves after the people they've been around. So a lot of us are actually living out our role models, ideas of what it means to be an adult. And at the first Saturn return, we get this sense of empowerment to make our own decisions about this. Even if we left home at 15, 18, 21, 22, even if we left home and went on our own and earn a living and support ourselves, whatever, we have to, you know, deepen our sense of adulthood at this first Saturn return. Sometime, you know, after I passed my Saturn return, I felt like I'd, you know, been through this initiation process, right? And then I'll talk with other people who are maybe in their 20s who are very mature, but they ask me what that Saturn return's like. And I say, well, even if you're very Saturnian, even if you feel mature, you're going to have to take some steps to do something a little differently. And it doesn't mean that you're not mature. It means that you couldn't possibly yet, prior to the first Saturn return, have matured in a conscious way simply because of this energy of Saturn making its way around the wheel ultimately to return. If you want more on Saturn return, this first Saturn return, check out my book, Saturn Returns Thinking Astrologically, on Amazon and Kindle and through my site. It explains all of this in fuller detail. So that happening in Scorpio has to do with strength and power, has to do with trust, has to do with vulnerability and honesty, right? And you get to make your own decision about what kind of adult you want to be. Let's say that you had authority figures in your life who were less than honest, and you haven't quite given up, you haven't quite forgiven them, perhaps, because you've been hurt by their dishonesty. That would be one example. At the first Saturn return, you can actually have more of an opportunity to withdraw some of that and forgive, because you're making a proactive choice to be your own kind of scorpionic Saturn. Your own kind of scorpionic adult, and you have the opportunity to forgive and release. But perhaps compassion wasn't available because you weren't done being hurt before the Saturn within you ripened, the part of you that can see realistically what's actually happening and why. So that's one example. Now, the second Saturn return happens after that first Saturn return, approximately 57, 58, you know, 29.5 times 2 is 59, so, you know, 58, 59. And, but again, depending on where you're born in that Saturn cycle, Saturn orbital cycle. And if you've lived that next almost 30 years on your own terms, been the kind of adult you really wanted to be, then at the second Saturn return, you have the opportunity to cross this threshold of maturity from I'm a fully functioning adult, probably contributing member of society, into kind of an elderhood. And I was really... really heartened and inspired by something I heard from Stephen Forrest at one of his workshops, a few years ago, and he talked about we've talked about life cycles. So Uranus oppositions, Saturn returns, Jupiter returns, all this kind of stuff, and how they overlay each other, how they overlap. And when he talked about the Saturn returns, he said, at the second Saturn return, you have the option in this culture of becoming old, which is perceived as worthless and don't know what to do with you, so we kind of shuttle you off, or to become an elder, which means taking all you've learned in your now almost six decades of life on Earth and turning it into something useful you give back to people who have less time on Earth and therefore have a different level of wisdom about life, etc. So you have the choice of whether to become obsolete, which is a cultural garbage nonsense, or garbage perspective, you know, it's crap, and doesn't help anybody, or you can value what you've learned over time and put it to good use. So up to the first Saturn return, you probably model yourself after people you've seen be authority figures. After the first, up to the second Saturn return, we figure out how we would rather be. Ideally, we invented our own version instead of just plugging somebody else's model in, but it's okay if we did, as long as it serves us. And then at the second one, we have the opportunity to take all we've learned about being other people's versions of authority figures and ethical and responsibility and mature and what it takes to sacrifice and what it means to work for something over the long term and what it means to be in charge of things and take responsibility for things and run things and manage things, right? Very Saturn things. And we have the opportunity to take all of that and to turn it into something useful for the consumption and benefit of people who are younger than we are. Implicit in how Steve Forrest talks about this, especially at that time, specifically at that time that I'm talking about, he's talking about having individuals transform society through valuing what they have learned over time and offering it to people in a constructive, useful, kind of teacherly, grandfatherly, grandmotherly way, authority figure, elder way. And he's clear about this stark difference between allowing yourself to just be old and become irrelevant, as society seems to want to make us, versus the stark contrast of being useful and creating usefulness, creating value for others through the wisdom we've gained through our experience. And perhaps, I completely agree with this. I find this idea completely inspirational. And while I have passed my first Saturn return, I'm not close to my second one yet. But most of my client base happens to be people between, say, mid-40s up to even 70, 75 years old. That's my client base. I'm younger than most of my clients, but sometimes by decades. And I think that part of that has to do with the kind of work that I do helps wrap up the past. And so certain, you know, as we age, understanding our childhoods and understanding the way our lives have unfolded and making peace with our karma and our missions on Earth and doing all that stuff kind of appeals to people. It's also true that people who are that age sometimes end up making more money. They've had more time to earn money, pay off student loans, whatever. That's my client base. And so I'm routinely dealing with people who are just before or at or just after their second Saturn return. And we talk about this usefulness idea. And many of them have actually understood that already. Some of them, of course, as you would expect in any population, haven't and don't really have any idea what that would look like. And for some of them, they haven't, you know, they've gotten to that second Saturn return and haven't fully processed perhaps the first Saturn return, the invitation to let go of other people's models of authority and how things should be done and getting into their own version and becoming the kind of adult they want to be. But it is critical. And again, there's no judgment here. You know, there's no judgment here. If somebody has a child like, you know, a woman who's 59 years old, who's in her second Saturn return, who says to me with childlike wonder, but I don't even know what that would look like, you know, kind of confusion and kind of an innocence, and that's okay. That's okay, because there's no failure when it comes to this Saturn work and these returns. If you choose not to judge yourself, there's no failure. Otherwise, you can certainly inscribe, you know, you can imprint and overlay the perception of failure and beat yourself up for not being a certain Saturnian way. The second Saturn return in Scorpio, again, everything to do with power, strength over others, You know, who gets to be strong when, what transformation is about. Dealing with the truth is going to be a huge part of every Saturn return in Scorpio, first or second or even third. If people are, you know, upwards of, you know, up in their mid-90s, that's also possible too. And, of course, and there's this, you know, their whole entire lives, they've been dealing with authority figures who are honest and are not honest. And there is a certain philosophical outcome to all that life experience. There is a certain philosophical base from which people with Saturn and Scorpio, having evolved, having matured by learning about life through the lens of Scorpio, learning about maturity and adulthood and trust and faith in other people and vulnerability and, you know, merging with people sexually and financially and, you know, trust-wise, all these things. There's a certain base fundamental philosophy that has been developed. If it's poisonous, you know, please heal it before you share it. It goes without saying. If it's positive, understand you live in a world where people are afraid of Scorpio energy. You have the opportunity to contribute meaningfully to the ongoing collective evolutionary discussion about power, strength, sex, truth, honesty, vulnerability, and sharing and deep bonding. You have a unique perspective. If it's not poison, if it's poison, heal it. Heal yourself. If it is not poison, do something constructive through verbalization, through writing, through teaching, through modeling, through mentoring. Do something constructive to share with people what you've learned. Ideally, you get to the place where you are peaceful because you accept the intense truths about life. This is my imagination of Saturn return, second Saturn return in Scorpio. The end goal of Saturn in Scorpio, in my mind right now, in my heart, it's coming through, is absolute acceptance of the realities of power, of strength, and what it really takes to create it, and how to meaningfully respond to abuses of power. And everything that's come before this, we do another one of these checkpoint times. Everything that comes up to this point, look at that phrase, abuse of power. We've talked about trust and sexuality, and we've talked about all these things in this rather long MP3. Overcoming the cultural sickness that trickles down into individual choices, you know, individual conditioning, and therefore choices and beliefs, and therefore karma and residual energies carried across lives and misunderstandings about power, is, you know, affecting abuse of power. And go back through all of your experiences when it comes to power, where you felt abused, or you have perhaps abused power you had, and come to make peace with it. This is the end goal in my mind of the Saturn and Scorpio maturation and evolution. Thanks for your time and energy. Thanks for listening. I hope that this was useful. You can see more of my work, including the two books I mentioned, Saturn Returns, Thinking Astrologically, and The Soul's Journey 1. You can read about those on my site, tdjacobs.com. Till next time, bye-bye.